Comedic, welcome to the show. Hi, moguls. Thank you for tuning in. We got a great guest for you today. We have Jeffrey Kamaze, and we have a really special treat because this is going to be really interesting. Jeffrey Kamaze is the founder, creator, and owner of Dr. Stats Fantasy Sports, and he's also very smart. He is the founder, chief investment strategist, and portfolio manager at Inherent Wealth Fund. Let's welcome Jeffrey to the show, and he's going to tell us all about all the things he does, which is a lot. Hi, Jeffrey.
How you doing? Thanks for having me, by the way. I appreciate being on your show, and thanks to your listeners. I'd love to share any of the knowledge I have with them, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, we have a lot of young moguls and moguls listening all around the world, all around the country, and you know, sports is really amazing and big. I just met a guy on the Chargers. He's a and he's a really nice sports guy and athlete, and also Girl's Guide to Investing. We talk about wealth, but from all kinds of people, like wealth funds, investing from startups, and also film addicts. We talk about a lot of people in the film business, and a lot of them are sports managers as well. So can you just tell us, Jeffrey, how, like, where'd you grow up?
I'm from Chicago originally.
Okay.
So my mom was a teacher. We had five kids in my family. I grew up in Chicago and Northwest Side. I lived actually in the city because when you work for the city in Chicago, they want you to live in the city. And so we grew up it was a really nice neighborhood, a great background. Went to school there and been on the West Coast for since I was about 19 or 20, but grew up in Chicago.
Oh, nice. And so was anybody in your family in investments or any hedge funds or wealth funds, or how did you get interested in wealth management? And then,
well, that really happened through a series of other businesses I started. I was always entrepreneurial, interested in different businesses. When I was in my 20s, I played baseball until I got injured, and then I wanted to continue that path, and I went into the fantasy sports business. But through, you know, my marriage and then another woman that I dated, that's kind of how I got into the wealth fund aspect of my life. And so, you know, it's been a very a great journey and a great path of a bunch of different businesses I've been in that have taught me things and I've learned from, and I've moved on and done bigger and better things. And sometimes not always better and bigger. Sometimes they're sideways moves, but this is a really exciting time for me. I have a couple of new businesses that I started in the last year, and I'm really putting a ton of energy and effort into those right now.
Yeah. You have so much, like, your resume is like, oh my God, your Inherent Wealth Fund is the investment advisor to the iBet Sports Betting and Gaming ETF.
Right. So that's traded on NASDAQ. And iBet is essentially represents for your listeners, an ETF, an exchange traded fund, is like a basket of stocks that represents like a sector or something that they're trying to achieve in their portfolio. And I know a lot of your listeners and a lot of people who are investors are looking to get some kind of a bite of this marketplace because it's growing. Right now, we have 34 states in the U.S. that are legalized in some format or coming online. We have votes in California for legalization for sports betting in November. And then we also have Texas and Florida down the pike somewhere. But we have most of the states are going to be betting. I don't think we'll ever get Utah. But it's a chance to, if you like wagering, if you believe in the sports betting, the growth has been phenomenal. I think we had 179% growth year over year last year in sports betting. And so it's something that people are interested in. And I always say, you know, hey, if you enjoy betting, and a lot of people love wagering, whether it's fantasy sports where you're just competing and it's sort of like a gambling aspect, or if you put wagers on games, why not hedge yourself and actually be invested in the space that you're partaking in?
Yeah. And so so if they wanted to find out more, and like, this is a disclaimer, this is for entertainment purposes. We're not a licensed broker and we don't give out investing advice. But So they can go on NASDAQ, and if they wanted to, they could check out iBet to actually invest in iBet,
they can go through their custodian.
Okay. Well, most people do, like, can they do it on Robinhood or like a Webull or one of those? Because a lot of people are on all those kind of things, Webull, Public, and Robinhood.
Yeah, it's publicly traded on any of the major custodians that are out there, Fidelity, you know, any of those, E-Trade, any of them.
Schwab, Charles Schwab. So you're actively managing this gaming ETF, right? I bet.
Right. I bet. And it's really fascinating because what it allows me to do is I'm in Vegas probably twice a month. And not for entertainment alone. Of course, I do enjoy myself when I go there, but I do go to interview companies that'll talk to me. I want to know what's going on in the field. I want to know how many people, how crowded it is, what the occupancy is, what people feel like at the, you know, at the resort themselves, what they're doing. And so I spend it as like a journey of information. When I find out different things are like, you'll talk to somebody who's in like the high-end concierge services, and they'll be like, we're moving to Resorts World, or now we're going to MGM, or there's a flow, and they sort of know it. And that's really inside information. And that's why this is active, meaning I change positions in the fund based on what I'm understanding and what I'm learning.
Nice. And so you're the IBET, which is a little I, capital B-E-T, which is an ETF, which is a basket of stocks that represents sports betting, like casinos and gambling. But some of the things that are, these are some of the companies that are included there. Is that the DraftKings, Penn National Gaming, Caesars, MGM, and Wynn? Are those some of those that are in that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because we've talked about DraftKings before and stuff like that. So that's interesting. So instead of just, you know, going, oh, maybe DraftKings will do good, you get like all of them. So,
well, and see, and so what this is too, and that's, thank you for that lead in. That's a brilliant lead into what this, why an ETF is so good in a space like this. Because we're in kind of like, people ask me, like when they talk about the stock market, they'll say to me, you know, they'll say, you'll hear this on TV a lot, we're in inning five of the bull market or whatever, we're in inning whatever. This sports betting thing is like inning zero. You know, it's very new. And so what you have a lot is you have a bunch of companies who come to market. Now, they're all not going to be winners, but it's my job to give you the representation of the basket so that you get the growth that's going to happen in the industry. And you don't have to just bet on one company. And DraftKings, I think they're going to be great, but it's going to take some more time for them because what they were doing in the beginning is they were going after this mass broad audience for advertising. And they've spent a lot of money on customer acquisition costs. So the stock hasn't necessarily performed as it could have. It did run off and get really hot right away. But then when the underlying numbers did not show, you know, that they were going to start making money right away. Our ETF, which is kind of great because we have exposure in Europe to a lot of these companies. A lot of the companies that have been sports betting and gambling in overseas have been doing it for years. So they're way ahead of the curve. They're past the customer acquisition phase. You know, they're not growing at the same rate that a DraftKings might be growing because of the expansion in the US, but these European companies have their stuff down, as you would. But DraftKings was spending a lot of money advertising. That's what you sometimes have to do in this space to grow, to get the customers. But, you know, they're changing their model and everyone's kind of adjusted, right? It was like the Wild West, like the internet days of the late 90s when people were going out after everything, didn't really know what it was going to become. And so the reason an ETF is so great is that you're going to have winners, you're going to have some losers. But you don't want to be betting on one horse in this. You want to get the basket. And that's what this gives you, the IBET ETF.
Yeah. And I just want everyone to see how you started because, like, you know, everyone's like a hopeful mogul or new mogul or trying to start a business. But it's really interesting. You hurt yourself in baseball. We're so sorry about that. An injury. Where did you play, Jeffrey?
Yeah, I played like some semi-pro in some teams. And I played a little bit of high school. And I just wanted to play as long as I could. And when I was playing in California, I threw out my shoulder. I was a pitcher and then I couldn't really play. And then I knew that was ending and I sort of wanted to still stay in like fantasy sports. And so what I did is that's how I started Dr. Stats. Now, Dr. Stats Fantasy Sports. And it's funny because someone just found me because they've seen me doing podcasts and they were like, oh, I remember Dr. Stats Fantasy Sports. And he called me and it was a term I had to ask my kids and they were like, oh, it's an OG. And I get it, like an old, like the original gangster. And he called me an OG in that industry because I was one of the first people who had an online site. And I would tell you that was as grassroots as anything. It really was me working a second job. You know, I was working a regular job to pay my bills. And then what I would do is I'd come home at night and I just bust my butt working. And I was younger then. I mean, I was in my 20s then. So you had the energy. And I was focused on that. And I started a little company and I ran leagues. And I only had a couple of leagues when I started. Like I had maybe 35 customers. And then I thought to myself, everything was going online. So I created this whole online setup. And you realize this is when it wasn't even going on. Online didn't even start. This was the mid-90s when I started this, 1995. So no one was really online. I know it sounds so foreign to your listeners probably. But, you know, that was a time when there were like simple web pages because there was no bandwidth to download anything. So I started that business when on paper, where I would just send people newsletters. I started these leads. I wasn't doing well with it at all. And I would say the key thing, persistence. I just kept going and I kept trying to throw stuff at it, see what would work.
Amazing. So, and how do you, and obviously you see sports betting market growing, right? You touched on a little bit about that, right?
What were you going to say? I lost you for 1 second.
Oh, you touched a little bit on how you see this sports betting market growing, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And then, so what are some of the trends and challenges that companies face in this marketplace?
As far as like, in terms of fantasy sports companies or the casino companies, or which way do you see that?
Yeah. Like for your iBet, I guess, for the stock that you are actively watching.
Right. So the number one challenge, because really when you think about this business is a great margin business, because the way that it works now with a lot of the casinos in Vegas is that the going to Vegas is going to be the reward. Meaning what they're going to want to have you do is have a relationship with like an MGM or Caesars or Wynn on your phone so that you can bet locally in your state with them. But the destination will be the rewards destination, which will be like they'll comp you and give you great rooms to come back to Vegas to enjoy Vegas. But they want you every day on your phone. And so what that allows you to do is have that relationship. In terms of the challenges, it's really just right now, it's a wide open space where customer acquisition costs are important because they're spending a lot of money with different types of promotions to get the player and to get them logged in or locked into their given app or device or with their company. And so that's the biggest challenge they face right now, is that it's like a battlefield out there and they are competing against each other for market share. And so that's really what's up. And so these companies right now are throwing a lot of money at customers, and it's great for the end user. Like if you love sports gambling, you can get all kinds of promotions. And I'd recommend any of your clients who enjoy that, you know, as for fun, of course, and I'm talking about investing. I'm talking about if they want to put a wager on a game, if they're interested and they're in a state or a location where you can do it, I would have several of different apps because they offer you all different types of things. And if you're going to be wagering, you should be an aggregator of the different lines in different games, because they're all different out there. So it's to your advantage as someone who's who likes to gamble or wager, because in the old days you would just have like a bookie maybe you called or something, and you'd be just left up to whatever he said. Well, nowadays you can have 3, 4, 5 different places to check and see if the wagers are fair, and the wagers are something that you could, you know, live with. And so that's great for people who like to do that. And there are great offers. Sometimes, like in New York, they were offering $3,000 to match if you would start an open account. Now, they're getting away from some of that because they did lose money on that. And so what they're doing now is they're offering you teaser wagers where they're letting you bet a game straight up that might have a prohibitive favorite, or they're giving you some kind of fancy proposition bet. So there's a lot of fun things you can do if you want to as a user.
So what are for some of us that have never done fantasy sports betting, like what are some of the things you can bet on?
Oh, well, right? for sports betting, you can bet on anything. Now what they do is they're getting, first off, you can bet on every sport now. And one of the things that I'm finding, which is really kind of fun, and I do like to wager, just for full disclosure, I enjoy wagering. I have, you know, the fantasy sports company I had was really a kind of a basis on wagering. And it was, you know, legal because they consider it skill, not luck. But you can bet on, you know, when you go to the Super Bowl, you can bet on who's going to score first. You can bet on the, you know, things in the national anthem that could occur. You can bet on different little oddities. You can bet on the NFL draft head, which player would be drafted first or which player would be drafted first at one position. You can bet on fumbles and all kinds of things. And you can combine those for higher odds, which are called, you know, parlays, and you can win even better odds, but those are very hard to win. And they're really set up for the companies, but you know, you can bet on anything. I'm sure there's places where you could bet on the Academy Awards too, I think in those places.
What's the like most popular ones? Like what's popular right now, or what's popular right now? And then what's coming up that everyone's going to be betting on? Like right now we're recording in June. So what's coming up that people are betting on?
Well, people now will bet. Let's put it this way. People now are going to bet on baseball. They're betting on the NBA championship game. I know I had a wager last night on the Warriors. I had the Celtics. I was very lucky that I've hit the first two games. But they're going to bet on the NBA Finals. But coming up, we're going to get – look, everything is football. Football in the United States is the sport. It trumps every other sport, hands down. And so, you know, when I had my fantasy sports company, it'd be 4-1 football over any of my baseball clients. I'd have four times the clients for football. And so what people get ready for is they get ready to bet on football. And what's funny is that Fox Sports actually created a league. And it's new this year. It was an older league that they brought back called the USFL. And the reason they bought that back was so people could wager on football, because people love wagering on football. So a couple months here, we'll get into September, and people are going to be ready for football. And that's really the heyday for the sports gambling companies.
What are some unusual ones? Like, what's some unusual ones that people bet on?
Oh, things that people bet on?
No, but it's unusual, a little bit unusual.
Oh, I don't know. They bet on like death pool things, like guys getting injured, which is kind of weird, right? So they'll bet like if the guy's going to last a season or if he's going to stay with the team. There's all kinds of crazy wagers. If you go to a kiosk now, because a lot of this, like in Vegas, you don't even have to go to a window. You go to a kiosk, you'll go to some place like Boyd's, and Boyd's will have 300 different bets. I mean, it could be everything you can imagine. What do you think would be a weird bet?
Like if they're going to, who does the dance? Like what kind of dance they do?
They
right?
have things like that. Yeah,
oh, they
like,
do, right?
They have celebration bets. They have all kinds of things because it's very random, and the more the better. That's what they're doing. So they're throwing all kinds of things out there. One of the sports that's becoming more popular now for betting is golf, which I don't think even people realize you can gamble. And then the other trend that I'm seeing, which is kind of interesting, is when you have a game that you're winning decisively, and you could never do this before, you can have what's called like live bets, where the bets can change during the game, where you can make another bet during the game, or when you're winning, they'll actually try to buy you out of your bet at a lower rate before the bet even finishes. So yeah, they'll try to let you close the bet out before it's even finished. So there's all kinds of different ways to bet now.
Okay. So we talked about like how it's being legalized. So that's going to help the stocks grow, right? If it passes in California, then you said on to Texas and then Florida, that's good for the stock, right?
Yeah. It's good for all those companies. Cause what they're going to do is, you know, the anticipation is that this is going to have a cumulative annual growth rate somewhere in the 15 to 20% range over the next 5 years. So as you get more states online, you're seeing like, so in New York in the first month, and this is a big number. When you hear this number, you're going to think, wow, New York became legal in, you know, late in the year, last year, December. And their first full month of online wagering, they did $1 billion in handles. Now handles means the amount of bets taken. It's not necessarily what the company makes, but all the companies that were involved in New York, and there were 8 when they started, I think 7 were ready to go. They did $1 billion of wagering in a month.
Wow.
So when you think, yeah, it's crazy, right?
Everybody, so listen to that. You moguls, listen to that. $1 billion of wagering. That's not the profit. So if they took in $1 billion of wagering, how much profit do you speculate as being?
Well, I don't know. Who knows at the end of the week? I mean, it's hard to tell when you read it through the line. But I mean, a lot of this is done. When you think about this business, when they get settled down and the customer acquisition costs are gone, and we sort of have people, they'll do some advertising, but people will make their choices. We all do. You'll make 2 or 3 you're familiar with, and you're going to probably stick with it. Generally, when I've talked to other companies, there's a company called gambling.com that essentially is a lead generator for this industry. And they have media sites that create, you know, that create content that lead you to these other sites to then gamble or to then set up accounts. And they told me that on average, like the U.S. consumer has about 1.6 or 1.7 accounts, meaning they'll have one and maybe another account. But in Europe, they have somewhere in between 3 and 4. And that shows because they've been online in Europe for much longer. So I would just say take this in mind. If New York did $1 billion in wagering in 1 month, when California comes online in November, well, we'll see if they get approved in November, but if they come online in December, January, and they have full online gambling, they'll probably do $2.5 billion.
Wow. And so what do you think of the Disney's entry into sports betting? Because Disney is in Florida and Disney's in California.
I think it continues to legitimize it, and it will, you know, it brings kind of like Wall Street to Main Street, which is like Main Street USA. But yeah, I think it makes sense. You know, they own ESPN and they have a lot of content. And what you need to do in this industry, or if you have gambling, like if you have a company that's going to, you know, benefit and have wagering sites, you need content, because what drives this industry is content. And I'll tell you, I'll give you another one. Apple TV and Amazon, I think Apple TV is in the forefront for the win, but there's a package called DirecTV's NFL Sunday Ticket. And that was the biggest thing that DirecTV, the Dish, ever had. And they're about to lose it. They have one more season. They're going to have DirecTV's NFL Sunday Tickets this next year. Now, Amazon already has some TV. They had Thursday Night Football. But from what I understand, Apple and Amazon are the only two that can get it. Apple appears to be the front runner. But I would not be surprised if Apple had some type of wagering that's involved with that, because it makes sense. And anybody who has content that's sports related will have wagering at some point.
Oh, okay. And then what about can you elaborate a little bit on the MGM? They recently purchased the Cosmopolitan Hotel in Vegas, and how in about Penn National Gaming running in the strategy behind the purchase. So what's that all about?
Right. Well, that's about and I don't know your demographics of your audience exactly, but that's about a younger demographic, because the Cosmopolitan is pretty much one of the younger demographics, affluent for sure. I've stayed there, but I felt like I was too old to be there, to be honest. Not that I am, but it's a younger hotel. It really skews to, you know, up and coming 30 to 40 year olds, or 25 to 26 to 35, 40. You know, myself, I'm more comfortable at like the Aria, which is a little bit skewed for a little bit older, but the Cosmo is a beautiful young hotel. I think that move was all about getting that younger demographic, because they want the long-term player on their phone. And this is a new thing, right? So you're not going to have a lot of probably 60 plus year olds who are pulling up apps to bet on their phone. Maybe you do now. What I would tell you, what's really interesting for your audience, is we've seen a massive growth rate in women. Women are joining this at a higher rate now, because the men were the first in, but ladies are joining at a higher rate over the last like 6 months than ever before.
Wow, that's amazing. Girls, do you hear that? Yeah, that's like, is there any stats on what girls bet on compared to what guys bet on? Like, do they do the Kentucky Derby? What kind of hats people are gonna wear? Do they wear hats?
Did you want me to say something like whose butt was better? Because that would be what girls. No, I'm just teasing you. I don't really know. I don't have any data on that, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
But I think that. It's funny, but I've run into ladies too when you're out and you're surprised. They know their numbers as well as the guys, and sometimes a lot better.
That's really amazing. So yeah, like, oh, how many cocktails can you drink? Or like, I mean, like, is there like, I don't know, like polka dancing contest, or is there like a card, like poker, or like, can you bet on that kind of stuff? Like poker and chess?
Well, you can bet on, you can certainly do some in some of those locations. You can do online casino gaming too. I mean, it's not just sports betting, right? So this is a representation of all kind of iGaming, which would be either playing some type of Keno online, or a poker online, or a blackjack online when it's available. All the states, what's really interesting about this is they all have different permutations and legality. So some legalize online, some are online, but you have to verify first in a kiosk or a location. And it's really interesting. One of the things that I think is becoming so apparent, in the old days, there was this taboo about sports teams being associated with gambling, but that's all but gone, because now what you're having is direct partnerships with these gambling companies, where they'll actually have the gambling companies in the arena, you know, and that's happening more and more. And that's one of the way that they're cutting customer acquisition costs. They're creating partnerships.
Wow.
With these major league teams.
It's just amazing. So your current outlook versus longer outlook for the marketplace, and what other possible entrants to the space? Like you just said, you just mentioned a couple possibilities.
Well, I would say one of the things that, so first off, let's talk about the market in general. Market in general is scary, right? A lot of people who are retail investors have probably backed away, because there's no fear of missing out right now. And the market's been treacherous, to say the least. And
yes, terrible.
Even the best advisors have lost money, and you know, there were only a couple of defensive positions you could really be in, which would you could have bet against long bonds, and that would have been great. You could have done that with a shorting instrument called the TBF, or you could have bet on commodities, and if you had energy, you're fine. But everybody else who was in high tech or in companies like Google or Amazon or any of these, Apple and Facebook, you lost money. So the current outlook really is, I would say, the sports betting stocks reset and got to their pandemic lows. And now they're actually, if you look at the trend in the sports betting stocks, they've performed fairly well compared to in the last like 3 months, compared to like the NASDAQ or the S&P 500. So they're starting to make their way back. And it's because a lot of these companies now are starting to make profits. And I think what needs to be said about this industry and the space is that the margins are great because it doesn't cost them any money to do these transactions on phone. It's once they've set up the software, then the apps work, and that's and the transaction margins are incredible for these companies. So the future is really bright. The long-term future is great in this industry. There's a lot of growth to come. We have to make it through a little bit of a treacherous market right now, but everyone's doing that. But these stocks have a lot of good potential value going forward.
Yeah. So, so kind of to wrap it up, let's see. So can you, we spoke about some of your favorite, some of the stocks in your holdings. What are some of the more interesting holdings in your ETF, the IBET, IBET?
Yeah. I like, Penn National Gaming. I think that they have a lot of potential great growth because I think that one of the things they've done where, you know, some of the other companies have missed maybe spending a lot of advertising dollars is Penn National Gaming with like their Barstool Sports relationship has really done a lot of good partnerships that have seemed to make more sense than just throwing advertising dollars with rich celebrities to promote your app. Penn National Gaming has really stayed away with that and stayed away from things like that. And they've gone after things like having Dave Portnoy be like their torch leader and talking about what they could do with those companies. And I think that that makes that stock very good. There's also a lot of other stocks, like a company like Boyd's, which is, you know, people probably don't know who Boyd's is. It's ticker symbol BYD. That's in our ETF, the IBET ETF, IBET ETF. But Boyd's is a company that owns the Fremont Street Hotel. So if you've been down to Old Town Vegas, you've seen it. You know who Boyd's is, but you just don't know the name of their company. But that's a company that actually is making money. They're actually pretty having a pretty good year compared to the S&P 500. So there's a lot of companies out there that excite me. You know, we had Disney in for a while, but Disney, we pulled out and we changed a little bit of our holdings. That's a company I do think it's going to be interesting. They're still kind of far away from where they're really going to see the fruition of the sports gambling. I think that's really interesting. And there's a lot of different companies out there. Bally's is vying to build a casino, Vegas-like casino on the Chicago waterfront.
Wow.
And that, yeah, that could be amazing right downtown on the Chicago waterfront. And so that's something to look out in the future in the next couple of years. So there's a lot of companies doing a lot of cool things. And I think people have accepted this. And I think people know that, you know, your responsibility is like anything else, like drinking or anything else. And that, but we do want it. And what we're seeing state after state is states are like, what am I going to do? When New Jersey was getting all of New York's gambling money, New York was like, well, hey, we don't want to let, you know, we don't want to let New Jersey get it all. And so what happened is now people are actually gambling and New York's getting the tax revenue and they're winning. It helps the state.
Wow. Well, I just want everyone to know. So we have Jeffrey. Oh, I want to mention real quick, Jeffrey. Jeffrey Chemist has board experience, inherent wealth and wealth fund as a CEO. You're inherent as a chairman. And what is this? Terralite as a board member. And you are also the host of Stock Smart Podcast. You want to just
write.
Yeah, did I say that all right? You want to just wrap it up real quick for our audience so they can find you and real quick?
Yeah, you can look me up if you want to just Google the IBET ETF or Jeffrey Chemist or Inherent Wealth Fund. You can look us up there. And I would just say thank you to you and to your listeners for listening. And good luck out there and careful with your investments. Be sure you know it, you know, your time horizon and, you know, how long you can afford to be without that money because the market's a little scary now. But it will come back because the market goes up most of the time. Just need to remember that.
Oh, that's such great, just wonderful guest. We're so lucky to have you. Jeffrey Chemist, amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your fabulous knowledge. And we're so happy to have you. And I want to invite you to come back too. And I just want to thank our audience. We have our moguls from Girls Guide to Investing. And we also have our Filmatics from Filmatics, which we also have television producers too. And our wonderful guest, Jeffrey Chemist. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.